Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Dale lines. He fires.
Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship. The Boston Red Sox beat the Los Angeles Dodgers 5-1. They win the World Series, and the Red Sox become the first team in the 21st century with four World Championships. Can you believe it?
Dale Arnold.
I hold all the cards now.
Rich Keefe.
You're World Champions, baby. World Champions of the world.
Dale and Keefe, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
This is kind of the new normal, isn't it?
That's pretty used to it at this point.
I mean, if you think of it, and it is an embarrassment of riches if you're a sports fan. In Boston, Massachusetts, New England, I got a text from my brother who lives in Florida this morning. And he said, I live vicariously down here, but it's ridiculous. I know now why the rest of America hates you.
Oh, I would hate us,
oh,
too.
Oh, God. It's
with
just,
a passion.
It's like, yeah. Really? Another?
Another one. Yeah. And oh, by the way, all the teams are good. Like, that's the thing, too.
Yeah,
like,
they're all still good.
Where's the big drop-off? Like, the Patriots are really good. Celtics are really good. The Bruins are a clear-cut playoff team. John Smoltz, and we can get into this at, you know, today and as the weeks go on, but John Smoltz was also talking about how young the Red Sox are and how this is going to go on for a long time. Now, contracts and things could get in the way, but you're right. This isn't a team that has, you know, a bunch of aging veterans that just slapped it together for 1 year.
I mean, one of the aging veterans is the guy who just won World Series MVP.
Right, exactly.
And the winning pitcher, yeah. By the way.
Right. And then, but in like 2013 when they won, it was a great group and it was like, wow, what an exciting run. But if I asked you, like, you think they're going to come back and win next year? I don't think anybody, you know, you're like, let's just enjoy this. Let's not worry about that. Let's just enjoy this. But this team, I saw they already came out with the Vegas favorites.
Are they already out?
Them and the Astros are the co-favorites to win next year. But you look at the guys that they could be bringing back, and everybody played a role in it. Just last night's game alone, Dale, and we have three games, really, since we were last on the air together.
I know.
Three games, which felt like 100 games.
Well, one was.
One of them was just insanity. Insanity. But everybody played a role in it. Like, every single guy that you thought was going to have, you know, step up at some point and do something, they did it over the weekend.
I'll give you the Cliff Notes version of my tale of woe.
Oh, your tale of woe.
So my daughter and her fiance were flying into Boston. And I had a 5 a.m. pickup at Logan Airport on Saturday morning.
Well,
they took the red eye from San Francisco. So I hung in there as long as I could, and I said, I got to get a few hours sleep here.
Oh, man.
So I get the DVR going, and you know, I go to bed. I wake up at 3:30.
It's not the end of the game.
And Tom Karen's on the postgame show. It's like, what?
Hold on a second. Wait, so you DVR'd the game, but how long did you give it?
Oh, no, I just put a,
okay, like a
I just put
block.
A big chunk of chunk. I had no idea how long it was going to go.
Like, it runs out in the 12th inning.
Yeah,
like, what?
What?
No, that was one of those crazy ones, and it was, you know, and a lot of people went to bed, I understand. But I stayed up through the whole thing, and it became a thing.
I heard
where,
you talking about it,
it
yesterday.
Oh, yeah, because I was on NFL Sunday, which was really World Series Sunday.
Well, and let's be honest, you want good World Series breakdowns, you get Andy Hart in
here.
I'll
tell you what.
And he was good.
He was
excellent.
He clearly was watching all those games, but that was one of those things where that's one of the memories from this World Series. Like, you'll look back on it and be like, do you remember the game that went to 3:30?
I actually think I'm vindicated.
Why?
I said the Red Sox in six.
They
did play six.
I said four.
I mean, one of them was 18 innings, so that was two games.
No.
I think it actually is Red Sox in six.
No, if Kinsler didn't have an error, it's Red Sox in four. I'm still putting that on Kinsler. Red Sox in four. But I think if you hung up,
by the way, what is that cow pasture they play in Los Angeles?
It seems like a bit of a mess, huh?
What the? I mean,
this great stadium. It's Dodger Stadium, Chavez Ravine.
Do they not pay groundskeepers out there?
I don't know what that is.
Are they busy on other projects?
Like, listen.
Yeah, you know what? We'll try to get in there and mow things on Thursday,
awful.
Okay?
Like, if you want real grass, that's nice. You know, a lot of parks aren't real grass, but that is a disaster. Guys are slipping around all over the place, falling down.
God.
Kinsler was after that, though. We didn't see a lot of Ian Kinsler after that play.
It was Brock Holt, baby.
That was a mess. And that could have been, I mean, what a turnaround that really could have been. Because that's what, you know, little Ken Rosenthal saying on Friday night. You know?
little Ken Rosenthal.
Little Ken sitting down in the well there. He's like, hey, you know, if the Red Sox lose, it's going to be a costly loss. Costly loss. Yeah, no, then they won games 4 and 5. And then the series was over.
I generally speaking hate this kind of thing. Like every time we do a Bruins game at the end of the night, we pick the Bruins player of the game or the player of the game, period.
You hate picking player of the game?
What I hate is when you split the baby, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The Bruins top line is the player. No, you pick a player.
Pick a guy. Who's your MVP?
See, this was one of those instances I would have gone with co-MVPs.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, it was pretty close. I mean, you could have gone either way.
This is one of those rare times when I would have said, you know what? Give it to them both.
I know. I was going to say, if Pierce didn't hit that second homer in the game, it was probably going to be Price. And even though they were already up 5-1, or I'm sorry, that made it 5-1. They were up 4-1. Pierce hits another home run, but that was sort of just kind of padding his stats and saying, all right, it's going to be him. But you easily could have gone either guy.
I would have had no problems if they had said got co-MVPs. The resurrection tour for David Price is complete. Now, I'm not sure it's going to change things, and we'll get into more of the negativity as we go forward, and people are going to talk about it.
Because he provided us
He did. But what you can't do is say that he didn't perform for your team when they needed it the most.
Well, it's unbelievable to think about because it wasn't like he was bad in all the playoffs before, and then this playoffs he was really good. He started out, I mean, it feels like forever ago, but that Yankee start, he only had an inning and 2/3. And everyone's like, are you nuts? Like, can you ever bring this guy back? And Cora did. Cora stuck by him. And we already know that Cora likes him. We know that the teammates love him. He's a great teammate. Like, that's never been an issue. So I think they were happy to see him get there. And then he has another start, and then you get the baby steps line, which I wasn't wild about, where the team won finally, but he didn't. He went 4 2/3. They took him out after 5.
I will say this, and this is going to sound like all I'm doing is defending this guy.
Oh,
again.
Boy.
No. But my point is, I don't think he's a very good communicator. I think that there are times when he says things and it's partial sentences and there he leaves enough gaps there so that you say, is that what he really meant? Did he really mean, you know, it's baby steps, or was he saying, look, if it's baby steps, I'll take that? You know, it's like
you're right.
And you go, what the hell is he saying?
I know, but
it's like the thing last night, the whole thing about the cards. He wasn't talking about him holding all the cards over the Red Sox. He was talking about him holding all the cards over the media.
Yeah.
But he's so inept at expressing himself.
Terrible. And then the tweet and everything else. We'll get to that. But I just, there are certain things that he says that you scratch your head. But again, the playoffs started out like how he had pitched in other years, whether it was with the Red Sox 2 years ago in the playoffs as a starter. He was good as a reliever, but as a starter. Or Toronto, Detroit, Tampa. Inning and 2/3, they lose. Then he goes 4 2/3. He gives up 4 runs, which is not a great outing, but they win the game. And then after that, 6 scoreless, 6 innings, 2 runs. He has the relief appearance in the marathon game and gives up gets 2 outs. And then last night, he goes 7 innings and allows 1 run. And he was great. He only needed 89 pitches to go 7 innings. I thought they'd keep him going.
They did bring him out, but you know, Alex was not going to take any chances.
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as he put a guy on base, you know, it's time. The Ken Rosenthal story, to your point about, you know, what a popular teammate he is.
Yes.
Alex Cora wanted to make sure the Fox guys knew this. After Nathan Eovaldi had that heroic relief performance and ended up serving up the home run and everything.
Yeah.
They said, and this is Cora talking now. He said David Price was waiting for him at the top step of the dugout. And he basically didn't leave his side the rest of the night. When they went to get on the bus,
was he worried about him? What do you think
he was
going
to
do?
He was trying to make sure, according to Cora, that, you know, he was supported. He knew.
Yeah.
They go to get on the bus, and Eovaldi sits down, and a player started to sit beside him. And David Price says, no, I'm going to sit with him. And according to Cora, he literally would not leave his side.
I mean, it's
from the minute he walked off the mound for the rest of the night.
It's one of the rare cases where the player of the game and the guy that inspired the rest of the team
lost the game.
He lost the game. He took the L in the one game they lost in the World Series.
It's like Tim Wakefield giving up the home run to Aaron Boone. Yeah. And nobody blamed Tim
Wakefield.
Nobody
felt bad. Like, that's a tough spot. But Eovaldi even times that by 100 because Eovaldi pitched in the first two games of the series. Then you're thinking he's going to start game four. He's like, no, I'm good. I'm gonna pitch this game instead and go forever. I mean, that was an incredible performance. And I think it fired up at least the pitching staff. Obviously, the hitters didn't do anything the next game until Chris Sale was screaming at everybody in the dugout. And that kind of woke them up. But I love the story. And who knows how true it actually is. But the story that after Eovaldi's performance, every guy was on it in front of Alex Cora being like, I want to start game four.
Well, and every Cora,
including Porcello. He wanted to start back-to-back games.
Well, and according to Cora, he got a text. He said he got a text message from David Price every single day. I can go. If you need me, use me. You know, I'm ready. Every single game.
Yeah.
It's a text from David. It's like, all right, David, I got it.
But it's awesome. Like, it's awesome. Like, Rodriguez wanted to start. Eovaldi wanted to start.
Yeah. Like Chris Sale wanted to start.
You just pitched seven. You just actually pitched. You threw more pitches than even Rick Porcello did. And both of those guys wanted to start. Sale wanted to start. Who knows if he could have. I mean, he didn't even start in game five, but he closed it out. But I love that. I think all those guys just kind of motivating each other. Because we talk about how pitchers are babied, or oftentimes they're just babies. Like,
yes.
It's one of the two, no matter what.
Sometimes it's both.
A lot of times it is both. But these pitchers just all completely, like, motivated themselves, and they weren't going to be outdone by the other guy. And, like, they all want to be out there. And a great example was last night, there's only two mounds in the bullpen, and they're, like, fighting over the mound so they can warm up. At one point, it was Eovaldi, Sale, and Barnes all standing up by the rubber, being like,
Matt, I want to throw. You got to move over here.
Like, we're not going to you. Yeah. And then, like, all those guys, they all wanted to pitch. Like, they all wanted to get into the game. And, you know, you have a starter go seventh. There's really only need for two more guys. But everybody
and Joe Kelly comes in.
Joe Kelly.
Throwing blazers.
Yeah, he throws darts, this guy.
I mean, it's like, you know, three guys, three strikeouts. Thanks for coming.
I can't believe he went two innings in game four.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I'm like, oh, you're going to have to take him out. Because he gave up a couple of hits. Like, it wasn't like a 1-2-3, 1-2-3. I was like, they're really sticking with him. And then last night, with all of the options available, he goes with Joe Kelly. And it was the right call. You know, he goes in there and strikes out the side. He's all fired up. He's screaming around and everything. Like, he was great. I mean, a lot of guys made themselves a lot of money in this series. That's another way of putting it.
Yeah, and you wonder how, realistically, of course, anytime a team wins a championship, it's, oh, we got to
bring them all back!
Come on, let's bring them! And that's great. It doesn't happen.
No. So Pedro doesn't come back.
No. And the question here is going to be, who are they going to bring back? You know, who do they realistically have a chance of keeping? Because they're going to have to throw some pretty significant money around in some other areas.
Yeah.
You know, I would address Chris Sale this offseason.
Yeah.
I absolutely would start addressing Mookie Betts, even though it's 2 years early.
Yeah, for sure.
I would
positively. Oh, by the way, on Mookie Betts, real quick, I was saying this yesterday with Andy Hart. Not that I was ever by any means giving up on Mookie Betts, but you did have to start to take a look at playoff
Mookie Betts.
You did. You had to. That's the nature of the business.
And then he darts one.
Yeah, but that was huge for him. And they would have won without it, and it would have been, you know, great, and we would have been celebrating the team. But I wonder, for a player that good, I bet it would have been still in the back of his mind, saying, like Steve Pierce is the MVP. Like, good for Steve, great teammate, but I should have done more. I think that would have been on his mind. And it's not like he hit the cover off the ball in the World Series. But getting that home run, and then even same for J.D. Martinez, two guys that, you know, you needed Mitch Moreland to have the big hit, or Devers to have the big hit, or Pierce to have multiple big hits. And then in the last game, for those guys to go deep, I think it had to make them feel a whole lot better, because they were the reason why they had 108 wins. It was more because of Betts and Martinez than any of the other hitters anyway. And then for them to be really quiet in the World Series, that was great to see.
I said this last night, and I felt it then, I mean it now. The best Red Sox team in history.
Yeah,
you win 108, you beat a 100-win Yankees team, you beat a 103-win Astros team, you beat a Los Angeles Dodgers team that isn't as good as either of those other two, but was in back-to-back World Series, the best Red Sox team of all time.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. I mean, because, first of all, it has to be a World Series winner, right? And then, so if you just want to look at the recent ones, 2013, that was a fun team, but this team is definitely better than. 2007 was a really good team. Like, that was a team that, you know, you weren't surprised when they won it. But this team is better than that. And 04, I mean, that's the team. I'm always going to like the 04 team more than any other team
because
in the history.
Were the
I just
that,
am.
Yeah,
just like, I like
and
the 01.
Everybody thinks
yeah,
that way.
I like the 01 Patriots more.
Yes.
But if you were going to put the teams head to head, first of all, the 04 team didn't even win the division.
I know.
Like, I mean, they were great and they beat the team that actually, you know, that won the division, obviously, and the comeback and everything else. But when you're looking at historic context, to win 108 games, even if you want to say, oh, well, the Orioles are really bad, whatever, fine, the Orioles are really bad, but they beat two 100-win teams to get to the World Series. Then they beat the Dodgers, who were in the World Series. They beat the defending World Series champions in the Astros. Like, their team, it helped for the opponents that they had. That was as tough of a road as they possibly could have had.
Until you got to the World Series, and that was kind of anticlimactic.
It was, but the... It really was. But, like, who in the NL would have been better?
No, that was it.
This was as good as you could have done.
But we thought this during the ALCS. We said, whoever wins the ALCS is going to win the World Series. And if Houston had beaten the Red Sox, I would have felt the exact same way. I just think they had no... The Dodgers had no chance. This is a wagon. I mean, they can do everything. And interestingly enough, they got heroic performances from people we didn't expect that out of going into the playoffs.
Right.
The bullpen. Oh, the bullpen's going to sink them. Oh, the bullpen sucks.
Bullpen was amazing.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. The blowpen. That was a hot sports take.
No.
The blowpen. That didn't quite work out, did it?
They were pretty good. So do you think this is a better team than the 1912 Red Sox? And before you say anything,
I'll have to ask Buck.
They were 105-47-2.
That's really good.
It's called in the blowpen.
No, shut up for a second. They won the World Series 4-3-1. There apparently was a tie that year in the World Series.
Wait a minute. I just wanted to have co-MVPs. They had a tie game.
There was a tie in the World Series.
You know, it's getting dark, guys. We got to get out of here.
The Red Sox. 1912, which again, I think because they had Smokey Joe Wood, you'd have to include them as one of the best Red Sox teams of all time. They took the first game over the New York Giants. Game two, tied 6-6. And then they continued the rest of the series. But so I would put them up there, but I have the 2018 Red Sox. I'm with you, Dale. Best Sox team of all time.
And poor Alex Cora, where do you go from here?
Well, that was kind of a damning graphic, wasn't it? When they put up the graphic,
you've got Farrell, you've got Francona, John Farrell,
but even some of the guys. I mean, maybe Smokey Joe Wood's skipper. They went back a ways.
Not familiar with his work.
Didn't they go back a ways? Who else? Oh yeah, it was Jake Stahl. It actually was. He was on the graphic. But those guys, there was a lot of them that won their first year. And when you look at Terry Francona, you go, okay, well, he won two, and overall was very successful. It didn't end pretty, but that's fine. But then when you see John Farrell's name on there, you're like, oh. So the real trick of this, and we should still enjoy the World Series win, and Alex Cora will enjoy the World Series win, but the trick of it is to get everybody to listen to you for multiple years. And can Alex Cora do that? I feel like he can, but...
They do love him. Now, you know, things are going so well. I think if you look at regular season and postseason, the Red Sox finished 119-57 this year.
Yeah.
119-57. So when you get a season going like that, probably everybody's pretty happy, you know? I mean, and to their credit, I say this sincerely, to the player's credit, whatever move he wanted to make in the playoffs, they were all in. Hey, look, sorry, Jackie, you got to sit down here. You know, we got to put JD out there.
Yeah, or Benintendi.
Or Benintendi sits down for a game. Or, you know, sorry, you know, we got to move you out, Ian. We got to get Brock Holt in there defensively.
Yeah. Don't come back, Ian.
The pitching stuff, the moves that they made. Basically, what Cora and Dana Lavangie did was turn the eighth inning into a starter spot.
But, yes, but what you need to do there is those guys have to want to do it. Like, they can't be like, well, I'm a starter, I start.
Yes. Right?
And those guys were all invested. You can't be Rich Hill. You can't spin a gem and then say, I don't want to pitch anymore.
How strange was that story?
What a dump.
Were they trying hard to bail him out last night?
What a breakdown. Buck and Smoltz talked about it for a whole half inning. Like, move on.
Now, I will say this.
But that's a bad job. When they went to the
Zapruder film.
Yeah.
And he was actually with his back turned to the dugout. And he didn't seem to know that, you know, his manager was headed out. But it was like instant. He just turned, handed him the ball, and walked off.
So the whole thing is dumb. So first of all, Rich Hill shouldn't have to go to Dave Roberts and say, hey, keep an eye on me.
Keep an eye on me.
Guess what? I'm the manager. I'm keeping an eye on the starting pitcher every time. That's my
job.
What
I do here.
I will keep an eye on the pitcher. Thank you very much, Rich. I'll do that, Rich Hill. So then he said, I'm going to keep an eye on him. And then, but to Rich Hill's point, he says, Dave Roberts has never, ever come out to the mound to not take me out.
Well, if and
think about that.
I actually believe that.
So do I.
I mean, I don't know how many times Alex Cora went to the mound when he didn't make a pitching change this year. I bet it was one or two, maybe.
What a moron, though. Because then he's like, well, I wanted to be a team player. Well, hey, team player.
You got a one-hitter going, how about some confidence, Rich?
How about a little confidence in yourself? How about you fight for yourself? He just, like, tosses him the ball, and Roberts is like, I didn't want to do this. And he's like, that's what I meant to do. Go to the pen. So, but my point is, if Rich Hill was on the Red Sox again, he was twice, but if he was on the Red Sox again, I'm guessing if you told him, hey, Rich, you're going to start today, and then in 2 days you're going to pitch the eighth inning. Then you might start, or you might just warm up. And then,
what?
He's like, I don't do that. I start every fifth day, and that's it. Leave me alone. So the fact that Price and Sale and Porcello and Eovaldi were all, I would say, even more than willing. Like, they were fighting over the eighth inning is what it felt like. The fact that they were able to do that is great.
And let's be honest. Once the president criticized Dave Roberts for taking Rich Hill out, that's as bad as it gets. There's some things going on. Mr.
There was,
President.
It was a,
could we,
it
you
was
know,
a
maybe
tough day.
Keep an eye on the rest of the world.
Yeah, he was upset with that poll. But I guess he didn't hear the whole story. Rich Hill won. Trump. Rich Hill won it out. Did you hear that part of it?
It's mind-boggling if you think about it. And you want compare and contrast. You got Red Sox pitchers, including a guy who started that day.
Yeah,
who's telling the manager after
the
game,
that.
I'm ready to go tomorrow.
I love
it. You can use me here.
I love Cora saying that you're going to get me in trouble with your agent to Eovaldi. Because Eovaldi's like, I can pitch tomorrow. He's like, no, you can't pitch tomorrow.
No, you're not allowed.
Tomorrow. I thought it really was appropriate that Chris Sale ended it. But I kind of wanted to see Eovaldi one more time. But I mean, maybe his arm might have fallen right off. But
when they were both warming up, I'm thinking, okay, now which way? And it was the perfect ending.
Yeah.
You have the guy who threw the first pitch of the season, threw the first pitch of the postseason, and he throws the last pitch of the season.
There's a
certain symmetry to it. Now, I will say this about Sale, and we know how competitive he is, and you know he gets out there. It's got that steely-eyed killer look in his face. After you get the third strike, after you've ended the World Series, it's okay to smile then.
No, he's mad. You thought you could hit off me? You're like, all right, relax.
I mean, he gets her up. They had that shot from behind the catcher.
He's mad.
And he's like still glaring at
him. He can't turn the intensity off. It was intense.
I thought, by the way, Christian Vasquez was going to kill him.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
I mean, you can't be jumping
fragile,
into the arms
man.
Of a guy who weighs a buck 10.
Don't touch his shoulder or elbow or his stomach or his belly button ring. Don't touch any of it. Get out of there. But that was awesome. That was what a season.
It was a blast. And Red Sox fans will be more insufferable today.
Yeah.
Than they've been. And good for you. You deserve to be.
And don't look now, but since 2007, the Red Sox have won more World Series than the Patriots have Super Bowls.
Yep.
Don't look now. It's a Red Sox town.
And remember I asked this question earlier. If the Red Sox end up winning the World Series, what's a more impressive feat? The five Super Bowl titles during the Belichick-Brady era,
yeah,
where you've got the greatest coach of all time and the greatest quarterback of all time,
and they're
there every year.
I think it's that.
Or different managers, different stars, different players.
Yeah, especially because this one, no David Ortiz, where at least David Ortiz.
Oh, no,
like,
he was there.
I saw him a lot.
I saw him after the game. He had a hat on. He had the phone going. He was there. I saw him.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Never mind. He was there for all of them.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
As far as everybody thinking that he'd be the ideal type of leader for the Boston Red Sox, so welcome aboard, Alex Cora.
The pitch, looping drive, left center field, on the go, the left fielder spanning, he and Kiermaier get crossed up, the ball was rolling behind them all the way toward the warning track. Here goes the runner rounding second on his way to third. Nunez being waved home, here comes the throw to the plate, and he's safe with an inside the park home run.
1-1.
Mookie swings and he hammers one deep to left field. Way back and gone. Home run, Mookie Betts.
That's the benefit of having power throughout the lineup. We're just a walk and a bloop away from getting back in the game and then a swing away from tying it or getting ahead, and that's very important.
Here's the pitch, and it's swung on. There's a drive to left field. Long gone. Out of Fenway Park completely. A three-run homer, number 42 for J.D. Martinez.
I didn't realize this was going to be so emotional, Alex.
Yeah, I'm, I'm becoming emotional.
The 2-2. Swing and a miss, strike three. The Red Sox have won the American League's Eastern Division Championship for the third straight year. For the first time in Red Sox history, they have finished in first place in three consecutive seasons. There's a drive to left field. Back by the wall. Is it high enough? Yes! Three-run homer into the first row of the Monster Seats by J.D. Martinez.
The 1-2. Swung on, tapped down to third, slowly hit. Charging is Nunez. He fires to first. Stretch. Got him! What a play by Pierce. And the Red Sox have won the division series against the Yankees.
And the 1-1 to JBJ. Swinging a high drive to right field. Reddick going back. Back to the warning track. This ball is going. And it is gone. A grand slam for Jackie Bradley Jr. Kimbrel at the belt. He fires. Swinging a fly ball left field. Benintendi moving back. Back toward the wall. He reaches up. He makes the catch. And the Red Sox have won the American League pennant for the 14th time in their history.
Do you appreciate more how hard it is to get here and the rare opportunity of World Series?
Yeah, to get to this point, it is hard. And I only got the opportunity. I mean, we have plenty of opportunities, but I only made it once in 07.
And he swings and drives one left center field, deep. Hernandez back at the wall, goodbye. Home run, Steve Pierce, and the Red Sox lead it 2-0. Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship. The Boston Red Sox beat the Los Angeles Dodgers 5-1. They win the World Series 4-1. And the Red Sox become the first team in the 21st century with 4 World Championships. Can you believe it?
These fans right here, they have, you know, the Red Sox are what are they?
They're World Champions, baby. World Champions number one.
Day one, you guys bought into the concept. From day one, we were a family. Throughout the year, we added people to the equation. People are talking about the Red Sox. Well, I'm proud of you guys, but honestly, thank you.
Job by Jason Rossi.
Way to go, Rossi.
Some of the highlights.
Nicely done.
For the season of the postseason, 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Alex Cora, the picture that they took last night on the field, the big team photo where they're all sort of sprawled around out there, just in front of the pitcher's mound, that is photo number 119. That's the photo
that's going on
the victory wall. And I guess from what Alex said, what they're going to do now is they're going to auction off the entire photo wall. They're going to auction all the photos off for charity.
That's right, which is awesome.
It's a great idea.
Good photos. That'll be cool. And it's even sweeter. It's a cool idea no matter what, but when you win the World Series, even if you happen to, you know, pay money and get win number 18, whatever, it's win 18 of 119,
yes.
And it's of a season that ended the way that it did, and it's the best team they have ever had.
We're going to need a bigger wall.
We are certainly, they're definitely going to need a bigger wall. One of the things, listening to the montage, it's amazing the number of different people that had such a big impact on the team. You think about it, when we were talking, we did the interview with David Price and Brock Holt, and we were asking them about, you know, who's the MVP and who's the team MVP, and David Price said, Mookie Betts is the league MVP, J.D. Martinez is the team MVP.
Which sounds weird, but I can sort of see it.
It makes sense, right? It does make sense in a way. But then you take that another step further, and Jackie Bradley Jr. is the ALCS MVP. Steve Pierce is the World Series MVP. Then you can make cases for other guys like Price, like Nathan Eovaldi, for God's sakes. Like on down the line, just about every single player made some sort of an impact on their way to a World Series title.
It was great. It was everything you could ever want if you're a Red Sox fan, if you're a baseball fan. Evidently, the game, from a TV perspective in Boston, peaked at 11:15, which makes sense, at a 48.5 rating.
Oh, doctor.
48.5 at 11:15 when, you know, obviously you're clinching this thing and wrapping things up. By the way,
But nationally, it's in the trash, isn't it?
Yeah, I have not seen any of the national numbers yet.
It's not as good. I mean, I think all I remember is games 1 and 2 were down from last year. Mm-hmm. And we're saying, you would think Red Sox Dodgers would be more than Astros Dodgers, but maybe it just goes to show that.
They're so sick of us.
Maybe there's that.
They are so fatigued by Boston sports.
Would you watch a 7.5-hour baseball game if your team wasn't involved?
No, heck no.
Would you watch a 4.5-hour game if your team wasn't involved? I mean, maybe.
World Series, probably.
But even then, like, I'm trying to think back to just last year. I didn't watch every pitch of Dodgers Astros. Because, you know, what if Celtics were on, or what if Bruins were on, or what if Patriots were playing, or what, you know, like, those would get my priority, and I would go somewhere else.
Late last week, I got an app on my phone.
Good for you.
Which analyzes, through your Apple Watch, it analyzes your sleepy
sleep.
See,
I feel like that's
a bad
idea. That
was real bad timing on my part. Because last night I got a good, strong 3 hours and 40 minutes.
3:40?
3:40. I'm feeling good about my life
that's
right
better
now.
Than most people. I was a mess.
I don't want to know. I shouldn't even have done this. I mean, this is bad timing. Because guess what? We're up late again tonight.
That's right. Yeah, we are. I had so many plans for Saturday morning. I was really going to seize the day Saturday morning.
You're going to go to the gym?
Let's not get nuts. I had other things I had to get done, though. I had a lot of things on my plate. I'm like, I'm going to get all these things done before the afternoon. And I know there's another game at night. But I'm up till 3:30, and I was like, it's just not happening. I woke up at 10:30, 11, walked the dog, I bought Red Dead Redemption 2 and played that all afternoon. That was all I did. That was a Saturday.
That's a day.
That was a day.
Did you have a good sit, though?
Yeah, while I was playing Red Dead, yeah. Yeah.
You don't usually play Red Dead standing up.
No, I was sitting for that. But if you're going to truly have a good sit, you don't want to be doing anything. You don't want to be
Sort of staring vacantly.
Yeah.
Maybe one hand petting the dog's head.
Yeah, that's fine.
You can do that. That's about as much movement as you want to get out of it.
Yeah, you don't want to, even watching TV, that you're doing something. If you're just having a sit, you can really think about things, take it all in. It's important to do that.
And by the way, I know you guys haven't thought about this in a while, but just to be clear, guess who's getting a ring? Hanley Ramirez.
He was tweeting about it. Did you see him tweeting
about
it?
He's getting a ring.
Hanley Ramirez was excited about it.
He was playing on this team until whenever that
was.
I'll
tell you what, though, that you bring him up.
He'll get a World Series ring.
There was two kind of player decision moves that they had to make, and you wondered what the fallout was going to be. One was Hanley Ramirez. Just saying, see you later to Hanley. Remember, and you're saying, well, don't they need a guy that can hit lefties?
No.
They
not
did.
Not him.
No, they did. They got him. His name was Steve Pierce. So that obviously worked out for the better. But they got rid of Hanley Ramirez. They're willing to eat the salary on Hanley Ramirez. And then, to a much lesser degree, but the one guy that seemed to kind of call out Alex Cora this year was Carson Smith. Remember Carson Smith? He was like, remember he threw his glove and he got hurt and then he blamed it on Cora? Like,
Eduardo Rodriguez Smith. Could need surgery after he threw his glove down the other night.
I loved that moment, though. He was so mad. That was great. But Carson Smith, that was another kind of weird one. And Alex Cora, like a lot of coaches, would just make excuses. They'd make excuses for him. But Alex Cora didn't do that. Remember, he was talking to the media about it, and he's like, yeah, well, I don't see it that way. And, like, you know, we'll have a talk about it. Those were two kind of issues that they squashed pretty quickly, and then clearly everybody else was on the same page. All 25 guys after that were on the same page.
The other guy I don't know the answer about, I know Hanley gets a ring. I'm not positive if Jalen Beeks gets a ring or not. Jalen Beeks was the guy you traded to Tampa for Nathan Eovaldi.
He deserves
one.
You
don't get a ring for that.
No.
He did pitch in 2 games for the Red Sox this year. Started a game, in fact.
Okay.
Pitched 6 1/3 innings, had a rather healthy 12.79 ERA. But,
hey,
he played in 2 games.
He's a major leaguer. He'll get a ring. They'll feel great for him. Like, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have had Eovaldi. What about Santiago Espinal? Does he get a ring? He was traded for Steve Pierce.
Yeah, but he didn't play here, though.
No, he didn't. He was in the minors.
But Jalen Beeks did play here.
That's true. Yeah, give him a ring. Give him a ring.
By the way, when you did trade Santiago Espinal to the Toronto Blue Jays.
That was a tough trade.
Toronto had to fork over $1.5 million. Yeah, well, all right. We'll give you $1.5 million, too, to take him, okay?
For the World Series MVP. And then Ian Kinsler, I mean, he could have been the guy everybody blamed if things went south. He would have been. But lump him in there to a certain degree, not as significant as the other guys, but the midseason acquisitions were through the roof.
Well, think about, and especially the Eovaldi one. Because that was in direct in my opinion, it was a direct response to the Yankees getting Zach Britton from Baltimore.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They went out and got Zach Britton.
Zach Britton, yeah.
And you got who?
Well, every team in the American League added relievers. You know, the Astros got that loser, Roberto Osuna. The A's added guys. The Mariners added guys.
Convinced their fans it was okay to root for him.
Yeah, no, he's fine. He's changed. He's okay.
He's okay.
We like him again. He's on our team. The Indians added a couple of guys. Remember they got Hand and Simber from the Padres. Everybody added relievers. The Red Sox added Eovaldi, and they're like, oh, yeah, he might be able to pitch out of the pen. I don't think they had any idea that he was going to be able to do what he did
yeah,
and also be the starter that he was.
Yeah, Dave Dombrowski tells you, yeah, we thought he'd be a reliever, you know, when we got to the playoffs.
But both?
Yeah.
Like, you thought maybe he'd have a role, but, yeah, his role was pretty clear. He could do whatever you asked him to. And he was their best starter until maybe Price passed him by with his last couple of starts. But Eovaldi was, you knew he was good against the Yankees, and then he proved to be good against everybody.
The only question I had following the 18-inning affair on Friday night the question I had was, why exactly did you put Drew Pomeranz on the roster? Because
they wouldn't even use him then.
If you go through 18 innings and don't call Pomeranz's number,
don't even use him. So, we talked about him for a little bit when he was on the roster, but one of the questions was, will we see him? And the answer was no, and they were even pushed to it. I mean, they used – so that game, everybody but Sale and Pomeranz, right, pitched in the 18-inning game. They used all 20. I think both teams used 23 players.
Yeah.
And Pomeranz –
well, it's like when –
hey, Skip, what about now? It's the 15th. Should I warm up? No. Coach, it's the 16th. Evaldi's still out there.
We're good.
Sit down, Drew. If you want to go have a toss, have a toss, but we're kind of in the middle of a game here.
Why don't you instead have a sit?
Yeah, go have a sit. Do us a favor. Jog out to the bullpen. Have a sit out there. We'll call you. See that phone? We'll call you.
Well, it's like when Nunez got hurt again.
Nunez is Mr. Like, Glass out there.
He was on the ground like 18 times in an 18-inning game.
What's wrong with that guy?
But at one point, when Alex goes out to him and Nunez says, I'm staying in the game, and Alex says, we don't have any choice. We're out of players.
Yeah, I know you are. Yes, guess what? I'm not taking you out.
We're not going to play with
we're
eight.
We're going with eight. Well, I was wondering, like, that's what was also crazy. Like, as I'm, you know, trying to make myself not fall asleep, watching that game late, both teams have emptied their benches. Nunez is limping around. You're like, what the hell? Like, is Pomeranz going to have to play first base and put Pierce over third?
No, instead we're going to put Vasquez at first base.
Hey, he wasn't bad. He wasn't bad over there. He made a couple of plays. But that's what I was wondering, because you did have two players left, but it was Sale and Pomeranz. So would one of those guys have to play the field? Like, how outrageous would that have been? They already had guys playing all different spots to begin with. You had a catcher at first. I mean, Brock Holt, I know, can play the outfield, but he's a better infielder. He's out in the outfield. You got guys everywhere.
He'd be as good in right field as J.D. Martinez is.
Oh, my God. We'll lose the ball in the sun. The sun.
What? Where is it? The
sun's been down for hours. Yeah, I mean,
that's when I tweeted out I hate National League Baseball.
I love it.
You are so wrong about it.
I'm not wrong. I love it. There's so much strategy there.
Like, see them good, strong double switches.
You don't like a good double switch? You're out of your mind if you don't.
Nothing better than a good double switch.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, that double switch.
617-779-7937. Mike's in Worcester. Hey, Mike. Whoops. Why did that turn all red?
I've never seen it turn that color before.
Mike, you
there? Talk about the phone screen.
Oh, there we go.
Hi,
Mike.
What's up, Mike?
Not much, man. Great show as always.
Thank you.
It's just great to be in New England.
Yes.
Finally get a championship. It's been almost 2 years.
Oh, my God. It's been awful. Our long national nightmare is over.
Yeah.
What a drought. But, I don't know. I've been hearing a lot about Price, how he's going to be like sticking it to the Red Sox and, you know, showing the fans or whatever. But my whole point is, it's like, have you guys, before the playoffs, said anything false about David Price or any media for that matter? You know what I mean?
No, that's a pretty good point, Mike. I mean, I think maybe myself included, have taken it overboard at times, but the reality was his ERA as a starter was over 6. So what did you want us to say about him? Exactly. You know, in the playoffs, I mean, in the playoffs, it was bad. So, like, that was just the fact. So I'm with you.
You know what I mean? And he needs to go to, like St. Louis or Kansas City where, like, everybody gets a trophy.
Yeah, I think the Cardinals, I mean, that's where he almost went. And who knows, maybe next year that's where he's pitching.
So the very first
he
call.
He said he holds all the cards?
So the first
cards?
Call. Well, yeah, but he was talking.
Cardinals?
Yeah, that's
Dale?
Probably what he meant.
Conspiracy.
Yeah, that's probably it. We're doing our own sound effects.
Well,
now.
Yeah.
Rossi was busy.
How do you know that was me doing
and
it?
And God knows if he hit a button, it was probably going to be a siren. Anyway.
Oh, I can't hear the siren. Not today.
Follow Dale on Twitter at Dale E. Arnold. This is Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship. The Boston Red Sox beat the Los Angeles Dodgers 5-1. They win the World Series 4-1. And the Red Sox become the first team in the 21st century with 4 World Championships. Can you believe it? They sprinted from the bullpen. They sprinted from the dugout. They're mobbing each other between third base and home plate. And the Boston Red Sox are the champions for 2018. They win their 119th game this season. Can you believe it?
There was nothing more delicious than Chris Sale striking out Manny Machado to conclude
ending.
The World Series.
That was perfect.
I mean, it was like if you scripted it.
What a loser Manny Machado is.
God, I hate Manny Machado. I hate him. And I'll hate him even more when he's wearing a Yankees uniform
next
year.
He's going
to
be. He's going to be out there for the Yankees, and it's going to be so easy to hate him. Yeah, he had a terrible World Series.
And that's
a dirty
even
player.
Better.
Last out.
How
perfect.
About Steve Pearce? I didn't even feel him. After
by the
he
way,
gets spiked by him.
By the way, when you go back to trade deadline deals or that month, you know, those trades that were made, the Red Sox get Steve Pearce. The Dodgers get Manny Machado. Who should have won that deal? Who would have you thought got a bigger impact there in the playoffs?
A couple of information points from one of my colleagues over at Nesson. He says, in 2004, Brandon Puffer, called up from Pawtucket to Boston, spends a game in the bullpen, does not pitch, sent back to Pawtucket the next day. I believe he got a ring.
Yeah, why not?
2018, Tony Renda played one game for the Red Sox, scores a winning run, sent back to AAA soon after. Remember him this year?
I do.
And he'll get a ring.
Now, will Dale Arnold get a ring?
No.
Didn't you do a bunch of games?
Yeah, but on radio.
Did the broadcaster
send
rings?
Yeah. But the guys,
you're a broadcaster.
No. Now Lou might.
Lou gets a ring. I think Dale should get a ring.
All right, we got to start a campaign.
Yeah,
we got Mutt to Minnesota.
Oh, that's true.
Earlier
oh,
this
did
year.
We? So did if we could do anything,
well, I'm thinking I want to see Dale get a ring.
Yeah,
and I want to see our Red Sox producer Ben Charleston in, on a duck boat.
Oh, that'd be nice.
That would make sense.
Get behind the scenes.
Get Ben on,
I think
Ben
Lou,
on the boat.
Lou did many more games
Ben on
than
a boat.
I did.
Hashtag.
There you go.
Start
it. I think I would be surprised if Lou did. I mean, obviously, Joe and Tim get them and should. I will tell you. I will tell you that. No, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I just think it's weird.
I don't have an issue.
Like you didn't play.
Every team ever has
no, I
given
they
ring
do it.
In every sport.
But you didn't play.
I mean, Scott Zola has got 5 Super Bowl rings, so I don't have a problem with
okay,
that. I will tell you that, and obviously there are a couple of different rings here. There's the one the players get, which will be worth a gazillion dollars.
Yeah,
they make another one, and when the Red Sox in 2004. I guess, when they won the World Series.
Right.
All of the full-time employees at Nesson got those replicas.
Oh, is that
rings.
Right?
Like the kids who work in tape editing and
that's
audio.
Cool.
And,
yeah.
You know, they were part of the organization because the Red Sox own Nesson.
And they immediately all went on eBay.
And I don't think so. I saw where Doug Keyed tweeted out a photo of his World Series ring last night.
Wait, what? He has a World Series ring?
Yes, he was a full-time employee at Nesson. Not a full-time employee at Nesson, by the way.
I would sell that thing so fast. You didn't do anything. You didn't play. I don't really.
Oh, what are you kidding? You wouldn't keep it if you were offered it?
Like, hey, this is the World Series. Like, oh, yeah, what position did you play? Like, I don't know. I wrote about it. All right, give it back.
I would not have a problem with any of the broadcasters.
Would you wear it?
No.
Okay.
No.
You know what I'm talking about.
I mean, like Jack and Brick and all those guys have Bruins Stanley Cup rings.
No, I understand. I find it odd. I know that they have them, but I just think you didn't play.
All right.
That's what I say.
Okay. Lou Maloney or Brandon Puffer, who should have a ring more?
Neither are going to be thrilled to wear it. What team were you on? Like, I was on the Red Sox. You were? What'd you do? What game did you play? No, I didn't play any of them.
Chris Curtis brought the numbers in, just an hour-by-hour, quarter-hour breakdown. And basically, when the game started at 8 o'clock until, you know, things were all over.
People were in on the Red Sox last night.
It was 40 or above every quarter hour. 40.7, 40.3, 42.2, 45, 46, 40. And then, as we said, it peaked at 11:15 at 48.5.
And by comparison, the Patriots usually do in the low 30s for all their games.
Right.
I mean, until you get to the playoffs.
And for people who are saying, well, why do you care about the TV ratings? It is an indication of interest, because what we were told all summer long is baseball's dead, nobody cares. And my counter argument has always been, people like winners.
I do think there's a bit of there. I think there's truth to nationally it's dying. I don't think it's dead.
No.
I think nationally it's dying. I think there are certain markets. It might get to the point where it becomes more and more like hockey, Dale, where certain cities love it. Certain cities are all in. If their team is playing, they're watching it. Playoffs or not, they're all about it. It might be getting a little bit more towards that. Whereas, you know, football, even a bounce back this year compared to what they were doing last year, football just dominates everybody. I think the NBA is going to eventually pass, if they haven't already, Major League Baseball. Here, there's no doubt people love it. People are obsessed with it here. But that's also, you're talking about the best sports city in the country. So it's kind of hard
and
to compare, you know? Like, hey, well, they like it here. It's like, okay, well, what about every other city and state?
My daughter's fiance, because they were visiting and were watching the game last night, and he's from San Diego. He hates all the Boston sports success. Well, everybody does. Yeah,
why wouldn't you?
If you live somewhere else, you hate what's going on here.
Yeah, you should.
As I think Darren Revelle put it out last night, if you were born in 2002, okay?
Yeah, you're 16.
You're 16.
You've
seen 11 championships.
Ridiculous.
You were born in 2002.
That is insane.
It's nuts.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just insane. Especially like the Red Sox fans stuff. Like when you really think about Red Sox fans, how, you know, the previous generations have seen them win just as much as like the young generations. Like, right? It's not like they can go back to like, oh, when I was growing up, they no, they didn't win then. They didn't win then. They didn't win when you were older.
They didn't win until the end.
Yeah. Pretty wild.
They lost in heartbreaking, unbelievably gut-wrenching fashions at times, like Bill Buckner and Aaron Boone.
Right. Oh, you remember all those.
Oh, yeah. Do you ever? If you were of age and grew up around here.
Mm-hmm.
Don's in Rhode Island. Hey, now, why does that keep doing that, Rossi?
Rossi, fix the call screen, please.
There we go. Hey, Don.
Don? Don!
You know what?
That might be on us. That might be on us, Don. No, that might be
It well could be. I'm gonna try this again, and we'll see what happens. Help.
So a little peek behind the curtain here. Okay, actually, sounds like we have somebody.
Hello?
Hello? There's no name on this one, so if just talk. I can hear you driving. You're going a safe speed.
Why would we want the call screener
Please
to work on the day after the Red Sox win the World Series? I mean, what are people going to talk about?
So here's a fun little thing, is that the call screener is like color-coded for some reason, and you hit a button and it changes to a color. And so now Dale hit it, and it turned to a color that we have never seen before. So that is definitely odd.
Let's try Don in Rhode Island again. Hey, Don.
Yeah.
You sound great, Don. What's up?
I have a question on Pedroia going forward.
He gets a ring, too, by the way.
Yeah, he earned it.
He does. Going forward into 2019, where do you think his status is going to be? I mean, we're loaded in the infield. They're young. Does he have a contract?
He sure does have a contract. He's under contract, I think, for another 15 years.
It's not that long, but he's got a few more years left.
Yeah, I'm just curious to see what your thoughts are on is he going to make the team, or are they going to keep him? Or
Well, I think it's going to really all come down to his health. I mean, that's what it's going to be. I mean, Ian Kinsler's not going to be on the team next year, right? I mean, Ian Kinsler's going to be gone. So
what about Holt?
I don't think they want Brock Holt to start every game. I know he's had some big hits.
I think ideally he's a backup guy, a utility guy.
Yeah.
Can give you innings at a variety of positions. I think that they would have Brock Holt back on this team.
Oh, absolutely they would.
And my guess is your second base platoon for next year would be Dustin Pedroia and Brock Holt.
Yeah, I wonder about his health. You know, that's one of those things where this year it was strange because it felt like they rushed him back, didn't it? Like there was no.
Oh, they
there
did. He played one game.
He ended up playing three. He played three games. I remember because that was the time when they made the move on Hanley Ramirez. So it was they got rid of Hanley, they activated Pedroia, but it was like why now? The team was rolling. It wasn't like a desperate need. And then the next thing you know, they shut him down for the year, and then that was it. So that was definitely a strange one. So I think it's really going to come down to health. He's actually only under contract for three more years. I know it feels like more.
It's not 15.
He signed a 15-year
deal. That was an exaggeration on your part.
But next year he's making $15 million. The year after that, 13. The year after that, 12. So it really all just comes down to health with him.
Peter's in Connecticut. Hey, Pete. Hey, Peter. How you doing?
Pretty good. Hey, and I think I speak for anybody that grew up in New England that's in their 50s.
it's just hard to wrap your head around the fact that anyone that can remember watching the Sox lose a World Series is old enough to run for president. How messed up is that? That's just like...
Yeah.
And, hey, can I bring up one other topic?
Yes.
You see in the series all the time, you'll see starters being brought in relief. What do you think about just kind of using that as a season-long, to say, hey, I just need to get this lefty out. Bring Price in. He's pitching in 2 days, but you know what? He can get this guy for me. And just making that like a regular sort of thing.
I don't see it. I mean,
in the regular
playoffs,
season?
No, yeah,
no,
in the regular season.
No chance, no chance. These guys are too fragile. His first stat was wrong.
Don't you have to be 35 to run for president?
I believe that's right.
I was born in the same time frame, and I'm not 35.
Neither am I.
And I'm definitely never going to be the president.
No, I was born in 84.
I don't know. Pretty much anybody has a chance, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but yet the age, you have to be a certain age, is what the point was.
I mean, look, the whole idea of using starting pitchers in the eighth inning, not in the regular season, they will not do that at all.
No,
you've got a finite number of games, you're in the playoffs, all we have to do is get through this number of games.
But the Astros were doing it last year, too. I think more and more playoff teams are going to do it because they say, all right, you know, we can do it, and it's not like you have to get through 6 months of baseball. So you're not going to do that. And then you're just burning those guys out. And so every game, they want you to believe it maybe, but every game's not as important.
No.
Like the long-term health of, say, Rick Porcello is more important than winning a game the first week in June. That's just how it is.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The text line is 37937. Your Red Sox are World Series champions. Just let that marinate for a couple of minutes. We're kind of going over what you watched over the course of the playoffs and specifically last night and how much we enjoyed seeing Manny Machado go down.
Oh, that was great.
In futility.
I kind
of
want to see him drilled, but that was also good.
You could have made the case. You stick one right in his hip.
Yes.
And then go get the next guy.
Yeah, but
which would have been a Chris Sale thing to do.
I was waiting for it. Because so he got two outs, and you could see he was still pretty, you know, fired up. He was intense. And he looked at Machado for a second. He is going to hit him.
Maybe.
I think he was thinking about it. He was like, if he made more contact with Pierce the other night, because he made some contact.
If he had put Pierce out.
Or if he even did what he did to Aguilar, where he really stepped on him, I think he would have drilled him. But it wasn't enough, and he's like, you know what? I might as well just go 1-2-3 and strike him out instead.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.